Thank you for joining us on Holy Family Radio for Unapologetically Catholic, a show that embraces the unique and joyful ministry of Catholic education, engaging parish and school communities with one mind and one heart. We are Unapologetically Catholic.
Well, hello, and thank you for joining us again on Unapologetically Catholic, our show that is uniquely about schools and all things Catholic. Today we're being joined by Cynthia Kniebel, who is the principal at West Catholic, Greg Bruno, the principal at St. John Vianney, and Stacy Slomsky, the principal at Immaculate Heart of Mary, all here in Grand Rapids. Welcome, guys.
Well, thank you, Susie.
We know how busy it is for principals to get out of the building, so we really feel like we've got a gift sitting around the table with us this afternoon. We're also sitting here with Betsy. Betsy, you want to say hi?
I sure do, and I'm very excited to be sitting amongst all of you during this very busy time for all of us. And I'm going to start off right away, Susie, if that's all right with you. As we're sitting here today, looking towards the future, Susie and I are both curious. What is your vision for the Catholic schools, both in the Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo Diocese, or actually across the country? What do you think the future of Catholic education is for our students? Stacy, I'm going to put you on the spot and start right with you because I saw it go right across your forehead. You were like, I know the answer to this.
Well, I think what's important to remember is that Catholic schools, while of course they offer excellent academics, they're also offering an environment in which discipleship is fostered. It's an intentional discipleship. Catholic schools have to be an unwavering force that offers Christ's hope as the alternative to the "this life is it" kind of mentality that's going around. We have to make sure that our education is working in tandem and in partnership with our parents. You know, the church recognizes parents as the first and primary educators of their children. But there's a whole generation right now of parents that are really struggling because they may not have gotten the catechism that they needed, and so their faith life isn't what it should be. And so we're finding that we're needing to do a lot more with helping the parents to know more about their faith and to get energized with their faith, light that fire within them as well, and helping to support them with what we want the children to carry forward into their faith lives.
Excellent. We were just saying recently, because you were talking about the excellent academics tandeming with the faith base, we often say in our building at St. Thomas that if we didn't have God to fall back on, what in heaven's name would we use? You know, if you didn't have him there for discipline or better choices or anything at all, that joyful moments, if you didn't have him, what would you have? So I agree with you totally. What about you, Greg? What do you think?
You know, the phrase that I often use is the best of what was with the best of what is.
Ooh, I like that.
Thanks.
Very much.
You know, I talk about it a lot of times when I give a tour of our building, because, you know, I think similar to St. Thomas, we have the child care in the building with us.
Right.
We, you know, from the time your child's 1 year, 1 year old until they're through the eighth grade, they can be under one roof with caring, charismatic staff that do everything in the name of God. And I think that's a big piece. You know, to piggyback on what Stacy was saying, she brought up a couple really important points. You know, I think back to my time as a teacher in Massachusetts, I had this great department head that used to talk about what he called the thermostat principle. You know, and he said, as educators, it's our job to swing the other way from society. So when society becomes too permissive in dress, it's up to us to adjust and go the other way. The same way, if the room's too cold, you turn the thermostat to make the room warm. Society's too permissive, say, in, you know, what people wear, it's our job to reinforce modesty, you know, and talk about that. And I think Catholic schools are, you know, a great hallmark in that sense, that we really can, you know, Betsy, you just said it best, right? If we can't fall back on God, what will we have? I think, you know, society swung away in part and has this kind of fear of, you know, and I love the name of the show, Unapologetically Catholic. There's this fear of wearing your faith on your sleeve. And, you know, we don't want to offend. And you can do it in a way that doesn't offend, but you shouldn't have to apologize for having your beliefs. And I think Catholic schools offer that. They say, it's okay. We can couple the strong academics with our our belief system, and we can raise your child in a way where they're not going to go out into the world and look to, you know, serve the world by leading. They're going to look to lead the world by serving. And that's a huge piece
great
in what we
quotes
do.
Yeah. Holy cow, may we use your quote?
Yeah.
I love
well,
the best you of what was that, with that, the best of what is.
Yeah,
I've got that
you
written down. That's that excellent points. And Cynthia, what do you think about all of this?
Well, I do think that the future of Catholic schools, not just in the Grand Rapids Diocese, but I think in the United States, the future of Catholic schools is very bright. Part of the reason I think that is that in the educational landscape today, throughout the country, there's this big scramble. How do we improve education? What's going on? Why aren't students learning? Why don't we compare to all the other countries? And all of these studies keep trying to point to what's happened with public education and education in general, why we're not being as successful as some of our European and other area counterparts. And the one thing that keeps coming through is in 2012, there was a national study done that was used by the St. Louis Federal Reserve that that tried to look at schools. They looked at public schools and private schools. And then of the private schools, they divided them out between Catholic schools and of a variety of other public school or private schools. What they came up with was that Catholic schools were significantly more successful overall, independent of socioeconomic groups, whether you came from a poor family, a wealthy family, it didn't matter. The kids who have graduated from Catholic schools are significantly better educated and more successful. In fact, they have, on average, after everything is taken into account, they have over a 13% what they call lifetime wage premium. They make more money. So everybody now is on this bandwagon in the school systems throughout the country trying to figure out what is that, as the St. Louis Federal Reserve called, what is that unquantifiable difference in Catholic education? And some of you can see it when you look around schools in the area. Some of you might have heard the word grit. That's the big one now. What makes schools successful? Well, students who have grit. Grit is sort of that staying power, or in Catholic terms, it's fortitude.
Yes.
fortitude is taught in the Catholic school systems. But so many of those ingredients that go into make an educated person have so much more to do than just teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. It has to do with teaching the whole person, having a why, having students understand that God is behind everything and God is the basis of their learning in the Catholic school system. And unfortunately today, that can't be the case in the public school system. So as all of these other schools try to find that unquantifiable difference, I believe what's going to lead parents back to that is saying, Catholic schools have that unquantifiable difference, and we need to tell our story and let people know that.
Two things. One, you're dead on, and first of all, I love the fact that you're quoting studies. That puts behind the substance or the grit mm-hmm. that everyone needs. But to couple with what Stacy just said a moment ago, is that there is a generation behind us of parents, not that we're all old in this room, but there is a generation behind us that didn't necessarily have the Catholicism that they needed. And what I'm experiencing personally with some of the things that I'm doing in our school, which is so fascinating, is providing a community. And what we're seeing is families are coming and they don't know that they're missing anything
right.
until they arrive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And once they arrive, they're like, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. And once they say it's incredible, they say, I want more.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're exactly right. We as Catholic educators are educating the whole person.
Right.
We're not only educating the students, though, we're educating the families. We're educating the parents, because when Susie and I were growing up, our schools were our destination places. That's right. Where my parents' social life was. That's where our social life was. Everything was around the church and what the church was for us as a family and a community. And I think we're coming full circle back mm-hmm. to that. So I agree with mm-hmm. you. It's a bright future. I apologize for doing all the talking.
I love it when you do all the talking. It allows the rest of us to sit back and have another cup of joe and a couple of truffles. But I do believe we've hit the nail on the head that in education, what's happening is everyone out there is looking at what's wrong with the schools, not what's right with our schools. And what's right with our schools is, I believe, we have God there. We have God and the family, and we combine those things and do them together. And I think you get a better product.
And I totally agree with Greg's point a few moments ago, that we should offset what society is pushing towards us, the promiscuity or whatever the case might be, and we set back the thermostat, as you said, and bring everything back in line, because that's what we as participants of a community or of a church or as educators need to do for our families and our students. So. Excellent. Well, we're off to a great start. Do you want to go with the next question?
I do. Stacy, I wanted to ask you, what are some of the unique things happening at Immaculate Heart of Mary right now?
Oh, heavens, there's so many things that are going on. But I just wanted to touch a little bit back to what we were talking about, dovetailing family and faith and education, you know, with discipline, that all works together too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When discipline issues are brought to my office and I need to speak with students, we do a lot of praying in there. We pray for that Holy Spirit to give us that sense of fortitude and that sense of courage and truthfulness and sharing. And then we take a look at, is this what we're called to be or do? And, you know, I talk to students individually, then I'll bring them together. And then we often walk over to the Adoration Chapel and we'll spend, 10, 15 minutes in there praying. And sometimes I ask students to reflect on what has happened and ask God to help them with forgiveness or also looking at the other person that they're in conflict with to have, that Holy Spirit come in and reveal to them some of the good traits of that person. And then we come back and we share some of those things. And I had one little girl in there one time. I said, okay, can you tell me some of the good points about so-and-so? And she said, yes. And she started listing several. And I said, I only asked you for three and you gave me four here. And she says, well, I prayed for 10. but there's just a difference in then their demeanor with one another later on when we bring it to, just lay it there on the altar and we put it together that way. But back to your question on, some of the things that are going on here at our school, we're doing a lot, to highlight the sacraments in every aspect of the school life, from the suggestion of reconciliation with our students during discipline issues or other types of troubles, to building it up with that celebration of family at the Mass on Wednesdays, the all-school liturgies, making sure parents continue to come whenever they're able, and extended family as well. You know, mom and dad sometimes work, so they're not always able to be there. We've had students that have been baptized at our all-school liturgy, students that have come into our school that weren't baptized Catholic, and through the course of the school year have said, I want to be Catholic. I want to be part of this.
That's beautiful.
And so we've had a couple of them come through and do all of that with us. And it's a beautiful tribute because our children are used to having infants baptized. But when they see a schoolmate receiving that sacrament with all of them in celebration, it's just very moving experience. And it speaks a lot to what we're all about there. And then Sister Colleen also Sister Colleen Nagel from the Franciscan Life Processing Center is a part-time counselor at our school, and she does a lot with our junior high students and doing character development series. And she's had different speakers come in. Tim Cusack was one. We've done a retreat out there at the Franciscan Life Center. We've just had another speaker come in and talk about his journey in going deaf and then losing his sight, and how he's overcome all of that and found that God was pushing him in a whole new direction, a different way to evangelize to people than what he had thought his life was going to be about. And so, the students are engaged in all of these different talks about honesty and integrity and hard work, that grit. Mm-hmm. And so there's just so many different ways to reach students because we can bring that spirituality into it. It's not just, this is not the right way to do things or the wrong way. And, this isn't legal. This is about who you are as a person.
a shout out to Sister Colleen. Yes. My son is employed at Franciscan Life Process Center, and we
mentioned him for us before.
Oh, wonderful! And we think so highly of everything that they're doing out there. And we also have Franciscan Life coming for us for music therapy for our preschoolers.
Yeah,
they come into the classroom and do some music therapy with the children. So that's very exciting. Greg, what about you? Some exciting things.
Oh, I think
John Vianney.
Thanks for asking, Betsy. I think this time of the year, you know, it's a challenge to list few without sounding like I'm rambling or like an auctioneer. I mean,
go ahead and ramble. We love ramble.
I got to welcome back our Odyssey of the Mind team from World Championships this morning. They did awesome. They finished, I keep saying they finished 19th out of 833 teams.
Oh, that's wonderful.
There was 833 teams competing at the World Championship. There was 52 in their division, but, they did amazing. We're so proud of them. I think of them a lot, you know, and I know one of the later questions asks a little bit more about evangelizing, but I just think of what they represent when they go to something like this. You know, I'm a parishioner out at Holy Family in Caledonia, and in his homily this weekend, Father Mark, he was talking about a couple different things, but he brought back, living our faith out loud, and he was talking about the famous St. Francis quote, preach the gospel every day, when necessary, use words. And so I think of them, and where this, in terms of Odyssey, mind with this little school that could. What is that factor? Why does St. John Vianney have, these teams that consistently, do well at regional and state and go on to world and do well at world? And it's that combination that, everybody's been talking about so far. It's the fact that God's at the forefront. There's that unique and great relationship with families because we have several families that basically make OM work and these wonderful kids that we have in our school. And so you put those things together and you get a lot of great accomplishments. And so that's at the forefront of my mind and just how proud I am. And then what other schools see when they see this group from this mid-sized Catholic school, just outside of Grand Rapids that goes and achieves. And what's that mean? The way that they're a light that shines before,
right.
And the way they carry that out. So that's something that I had in my head. We did the fifth grade teachers do a pretty cool thing. They call it Market Day. And the kids set up, it's almost like a real live economy, and they kind of learn, the market forces of a market economy. And that was pretty cool because it brings in that community at large. The parents come in. All the classes have times that they kind of go down and they interact with all the different things that the kids are, all the wares they're peddling, all the things they're selling. And, it's great because it's got that balance of experiential learning, market economy with fifth graders. Some of the things one group had, they called it smoothies, but one of the smoothies was an Oreo smoothie. And I kept joking, I don't know if that's a diet smoothie, but that's one tasty smoothie, and it's wonderful to see that aspect of the kids because it comes from that, kind of class learning. And there is that bigger piece behind it. They're learning lessons of economics, but they're doing so, in a fun, faith-filled way. We've got our onomatopoeia poetry contest will be later this week. The winners read their poem in a small ceremony down in our auditorium, and the parents are welcome to come in. And again, you mentioned extended family, at Mass is on Wednesday. It's the same kind of deal. A lot of times the parents won't be able to make it to these things, and it's such an awesome experience to get to see grandparents and aunts and uncles, people that swing by. We had one of our kids that was performing the other day. They have relatives whose their kids go to Holy Spirit out on the west side, and they still came to third grade books on parade, but they were still there to see their niece. And it's just really neat to get that that holistic aspect where you have all the different parts of the family coming together for that sense of community. Of course, I think, Stacy and I were talking about it on the way before the show started. We have Stacy's IHM's graduations Wednesday night. St. John Vianney's is Thursday night. So, that's another wonderful. St. Thomas is also Wednesday. Yeah. So, that's another big thing that's going on this week, and a nice piece to see those eighth graders off and out of our buildings. And, God bless them.
Cindy.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of our eighth graders will have been at our schools 10 years.
Right.
And that's a huge tribute. That's a, 10 years, a decade of commitment that their families have made. And then most of our students matriculate on then to the Catholic high schools. So, and then, even beyond that too. So
into the welcoming hands of Cynthia. So why don't you tell us what's exciting going on at West Catholic?
Oh, it's been a crazy busy year this year. It's been a really good year, though. Some of you may have followed. We have adopted now Saint Pope John Paul II as our patron saint, which has been just a beautiful experience. It's not something that happened overnight. It's something we've worked on for 2 years. We incorporated this year specifically a lot of learning in the classrooms so that students could fully understand St. John Paul II and understand why he's such a good patron saint and role model for our students. So that's been fun and exciting. And we actually have some beautiful artwork that will be going up around the building this summer once we get the walls painted first. I don't want to put a painting on a dirty wall. So anyways, we're in the process of doing that. Another thing that's happened this year that I've been very happy with and will continue is our religion department has had a very strong focus on not only prayer, but prayer and Mass and how you pray throughout Mass. The goal is to get students to really fully understand everything that's happening during the Mass so that they go not just sitting there being bored, but they go and they can fully be prayerfully participate. Lots of other exciting things. We signed not too long ago an agreement with Aquinas College where they will be offering classes on our campus with Aquinas College professors next fall. Our students are signing up, in fact, to the point where I need to call Aquinas and see if we can expand the number of sections that we're going to have. There's been such a big positive movement with that. Our mentioning going to World, one of our robotics teams, we have middle school and high school robotics teams at West Catholic. The high school this year did not make it to the national tournaments, but our middle school team did. They made it to Iowa in the regionals, and they came back. And I don't know what they placed. I know it wasn't top, unfortunately, but they did very, very well. So lots of exciting things happening on campus.
What a wonderful, just to be able to go and do something like that, you know, at the age that they're at. How exciting that is. I mean, seriously. But before, I know this wasn't, we offered you questions prior to our conversation today, and this is not one of the questions on the paper, and I apologize for putting you on the spot. But you, all three of you, I wish that sometimes this was television, your eyes glow when you talk about your schools. And I am now really, really curious as to what your path was to become a principal of a Catholic school was. I mean, you are obviously, the three of you, exceptionally passionate about what you're doing, and your children are very blessed to have you as their principals. But what led you, and I'm going to start with Greg, I'm going to start with you. Sorry.
It's a really long story that goes back even.
Okay, we have 34 minutes.
Yep.
I'm trying to
think of the quickest version I can. I mean, even
you could talk all day with that accent.
Yeah, you don't want to get me started, but I could talk all day. So I mean, I'll separate it from even, because you know I think it's intertwined with even the decision to become a teacher. But that maybe is a separate story for a story of another day. In terms of becoming a principal, I had never really given much thought to administration other than I wanted to be a classroom teacher for 25, maybe 30 years, and then at the end maybe be back in Massachusetts. Department heads only teach one class, and they're responsible for about 80% of their subject areas' evaluations. And so I had thought about maybe doing something like that, kind of hybrid curriculum and leadership, but had intended on being in the classroom. And I was a high school teacher at Byron Sunum, and the former principal, great guy, Kyle Nelson, now principal at Union High School, just treated me great, was always kind of saw me as, I guess, like a young up-and-coming leader. And then Scott Joseph, the current president, principal there, would often bounce ideas off of me, and he started kind of, you know, pushing the leadership bug in me. Unfortunately, due to some budget cuts, I was laid off in the middle of the year back in 2010, and then another teaching buddy of mine mentioned that, hey, you know, the middle school has an administrative position. Ultimately their assistant principal became principal and the assistant principalship opened up. So I ended up applying for that. I got it. And for almost 3 years, I got to work side by side with one of the best principals that I could have worked with, a man by the name of John Krajewski. He actually has three mm-hmm. children in Stacy's building, so he's a he's a devout Catholic as well.
Very dynamic.
Yeah, he and I have gone to the KIFA Men's Conference together. He was great, and you know we had that faith bond in common as well as several other things, and you know. He allowed me to have an experience that I don't think any assistant principal gets. You know, he really treated me more like a partner than an assistant principal. And so through that, I started to, you know, believe that I probably could be, you know, a principal in my own right. And, you know, like with everything, you pray. And so you pray to God for direction. And, you know, I would be constantly praying. The position I had in Byron was, it was a joint assistant principal and athletic director position. And the athletic director piece sometimes wore on. You know, I was, it was supposed to be on site for all our home events. And so, you know, I've got this young family and it was kind of taking my focus away from the family and kind of splitting. And I felt like I wasn't being the father that I wanted to be. So I kept praying on it. And, one day I was dropping my children off, administrative assistant at St. John Vianney, my children with the child care, came out and she said, you know, hey, Greg, Tom Priest had this wonderful opportunity that he's going to take, you know, so we're not going to have a principal. You should apply. And I said, wow, that's, you know, okay. And I talked it over with my wife and another good friend of mine, my best friend, Jim. He was very supportive of it and kept telling me, you really, really should think about this. And so I prayed on it and kept thinking about it and ultimately applied. And it worked out the way I was prayerful that it would work out. And so that's excellent. Kind of a long-winded answer. Sorry, but
no, excellent. Excellent. Isn't it amazing with prayer how much we're willing to take on?
Yes.
You know, when we talk about all the benefits of having prayer in our schools and that it makes what we do in our schools possible. But how many times we've prayed ourselves mm-hmm. through something or prayed about something and took a leap that a lot of people wouldn't have taken. And I think leaping into principalship is about as big a leap as you can take mm-hmm. after you've been in the classroom.
Most definitely.
Cynthia, how about you? What brought you to the principalship?
I don't want to say a long story, but
I'll try. We have 30 minutes.
I know. I'll keep it as short as I can. I actually started my teaching career way back a long time ago, right out of college. I went down to Guayaquil, Ecuador. I lived with the Sisters of Charity, BVMs, and I taught in a Catholic school in Guayaquil. Loved it, but that was not my career intention. I actually went down there to improve my Spanish language ability because I was on my way to Boston College in a 3-year master's program for economic development. Having lived in Ecuador and seeing what economic development that comes from the United States to Latin America looks like, I knew that wasn't what I could do for a living. So I had a complete change of plans, knew I just needed money, and went and I was a stockbroker. Was a stockbroker for a number of years, and when I had paid off all my student loans and saved up enough money, I started an import business in the Andean Mountains where I imported the clothing that the women I used to work with lived. And long story short, I ran that business until child number 2 because I was never going to get married, as I told my mother 100 million times, but I did, and had one kid right after another. And they don't travel very well to South America. So, nor do they do the fashion shows in Chicago and New York and everywhere else I had to go to sell my product. So I sold the business and stayed home for, I think it was maybe close to 9 years, and then decided that my kids all went to, at the time, St. Jude, which is now All Saints Academy. And I just started subbing, then took a full-time job working, teaching English as a second language at Kenowa Hills. And then when it came time for, it's funny how we all are motivated by our children, because I was looking at the tuition bill for West Catholic for my incoming 9th grader, knowing I had 4 more to come. And I knew there was a tuition discount, so I jumped ship and came to work for West Catholic. And that's been there now for just finishing my 11th year.
Wow.
Not your typical story. I grew up two blocks away from where I work. So, you're putting me to shame, girl.
I know all of us are picking our jaw up.
I started my own import business. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, it was great because I really felt the need to I still wanted to do economic development.
Well, that's yeah.
I mean,
you're
doing it. And really felt the calling to help people less fortunate. And that was a great way to do it because I knew every sweater I sold put food on the table of somebody who needed food. And I feel like I'm doing the same thing now.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, I'm reaching a broader audience, though, I do feel, in many ways. I really feel that I'm called, as we all are, but I'm called to make the world a better place. And the way I can do it is use my talents to get our students to know and to love God and to continue doing that for the rest of their lives.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Now, I'm just curious, have the four graduated or are they still there?
No, they've all graduated. My baby graduated last year. So this is my first year. I won't just say kid free, but I'll say daughter free. Because my boys, I have a nephew who lived with me through much of high school off and on as well. The two boys were so easy to get out of the door, but those girls, I'll tell you, when they had a bad hair day, trying to get them to school on time was no easy task. So.
I kind of feel sorry for Stacy because she's got to follow that story
I
up.
Know it. Try and tap that one, girl.
All right, this better be good.
Let's see. I always wanted to be an educator, and I grew up in and out of Catholic schools and public schools. My parents moved us around quite a bit, and we lived at one point on a 40-acre farm. My dad was a weekend farmer, and I would drag my brothers and sisters to the chicken coop, and that was my one-room schoolhouse, and I was the oldest of six.
That's awesome.
And I'd go out there, and we'd teach. They'd have homework. And then, you know, as I went through school, I knew I didn't necessarily always want to go for the job that made money, but I went into college at Aquinas, and I started majoring in business, and I did an internship there, and they started telling me, oh, you better not hang around with so-and-so. She came up through the union. They're not pro-company. And I'm thinking, I don't know that I can work for an organization like that. And I don't know if I can really play that political game in business that you need to have, you know, the strategizing and sort of thing. So I went back to Aquinas, to the guidance office and said, I really want to be a teacher. I want to change the world and I want to be a teacher. And I said, but I know there's no jobs. And they said, oh, there's jobs if you're good. And I said, well, I'm good. So I went back and I did a fifth year and got all my ed classes involved. And then I started substitute teaching, and I ended up in a position at St. Anthony of Padua School. And mid-year, the teacher left for a different position or maternity leave or something. And I've been in Catholic education ever since. That was around 85, 86. And I love it. I can't imagine. I've had opportunities to go to public schools, and every time that comes up, I just can't sign on the dotted line. And I say, I'm sorry. I think my heart is here. And I couldn't imagine teaching anywhere or being anywhere that I wasn't allowed to share my faith and I wasn't allowed to pray with my students and integrate all of that into everything we do. So I taught for a number of years at a few different schools, St. John Vianney as well. And then I landed at Holy Trinity, where my children were going to school, and stayed there for 9-10 years. And then the opportunity came at St. Michael's in Coopersville to be the beginning principal there. And my friend Kevin Varner, who is now principal at OLC, he said, Stace, this is a great school to start out and see if you really want to do this, get your feet wet. He said, and I saw the initials SMS for St. Michael's School, and I thought, well, that's Stacy Marie Slomsky. So I figured God wanted me there, and I went in. It was a baptism by fire because administration is so much different than being a classroom teacher. And I survived that first year, and I remember crying and thanking God that we lived through that. And I went a second year just to prove that I could. And then the position at St. Anthony opened up as an assistant principal, and I moved over there. Because it was 8 times the size of St. Mike's, and I thought I need a larger school for more experience. And then while I was there, I went to Notre Dame. It was at that time called the ACE, Alliance for Catholic Education Leadership Program, which has now been renamed the REMIC Leadership Program. And I spent 3 summers there, and that just reawakened everything that I've ever believed in Catholic education. You know, when you're married and you have 4 children or however many children you have, it's always a struggle to say, we're going to put them in Catholic school because it is so expensive. And I fought my husband on that so many times. He said, well, let's just cut our losses and put them back into public school. And I said, no, we're hanging in there. We're going to figure out a way. And we managed it. And when I went to Notre Dame, Father Nuzzi was very good about teaching us all about the different documents of our faith, and that in canon law, it is actually a requirement for parents to put their children into Catholic schools, that that is the best place to have their children brought up in the faith to complement what the parents are doing at home. And it was like a lightning bolt struck me. I was on fire when I left that class, and I just felt so refreshed and renewed that, yes, even though it was a struggle, I had done the right thing by putting my children there. I'm doing the right thing by participating and actively helping my elementary schools and high schools and everything else that I'm a part of. And since that time, I haven't looked back. I moved from, after 4 years at St. Anthony, over to IHM, and it's become my home. And I love being the head teacher of the whole place. I not only help teach students in different ways, stepping into classrooms and things, but I also help teach my teachers and helping them to become spiritual leaders as well as educators. And I help teach the rest of my staff and the parents, and then by extension into the parish as well, because my job doesn't just stop at the school hallways. We're involved in so much and so many different layers there. And my life is so full, but it goes back to that prayer. The minute I try to just run it all, it falls apart. But if I step back and say, okay, God, how do you want me to handle this, and let him lead me, it's just amazing to me how things fall into place. And, you know, problems begin to be solved before I've left the Adoration Chapel, and calls are coming in or emails are coming, and God is having just everything fall into place. And, you know, as stressful as it is, I still like coming into work in the morning, and I have a smile on my face greeting the kids, and I'm sad to see them go when they graduate and sad to see them go for the summer. So I just think that it is something that if you're open to the Spirit guiding you, you are truly going to have that opportunity where you are fulfilled in your career, where you feel like this is a mission, it's a vocation, it's not just a paycheck, it's not just a job.
Boy, that was pretty close to topping Cynthia's. That was amazing. But because I'm in the presence of 4 principals,
yes?
We cannot leave out Susie. Please share with us.
Boy, well, I can't top any of you. I stayed at home, raised my children. I have 4 sons, which if you have 4 sons, you pretty much need to stay home and raise them if you expect anything to survive their teenage years. And then I realized, as my oldest son was going off to college, that I was not only going to lose all 4 very quickly, because there's like stair steps, I was going to lose all the neighborhood that was in my house all the time as well. So prior to that, I had a business, a catering business that became too much. So I'd had some business background. I did work, with a corporation, and I was in management there. So got some information for my future career there. I think God threw me around a little bit to get me wisened up. And I walked into Aquinas College here in Grand Rapids one day and just said, what should I do? And by the time I left that office, Sister Barbara had me signed up for classes in education. And so I got my degree in elementary education, teaching 5th grade. I also got a learning disabilities endorsement, an art endorsement, because I'm an artist. And then went on and got my master's in learning disabilities. So teaching was my career for so many years, and I figured, just like you, Greg, that they were going to roll me out in a wheelchair,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
When I get too old to walk, you can just prop me up in a corner, and that was going to be good for me because I couldn't believe I was collecting a paycheck to be a teacher. Yeah. I mean, it was so much fun. It was like
a dream job.
It was a dream job, raising kids again, you know? Our principal, Dave Faber, who's now the superintendent of Catholic schools here in Grand Rapids, was the principal of our school, and much like you also, Greg, he kind of took me under his wing, empowered me with some responsibility, and when the assistant principalship opened up, I jumped in thinking, this is it. This is where they're going to prop me up in the corner of the assistant principal's office. Man, I love being second in command.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Get to do all the great stuff, snuggle kids all day, go and snuggle teachers the rest of the day, and life was good, right? A year later, Dave did leave and became the superintendent, and he's very good in his position. I'm very happy for him that he left. I began to then ready the school for the principal because that was my job. I was the assistant principal. Got everything all set to go, and our priest walked in one day and said, well, you are applying for this position, aren't you? So, of course, I did, and I ended up with the position. I think God just knew where he needed to put me to humble me a little bit, to let me realize that Catholic education isn't always easy, that working, truly living the faith and living what we preach at school is never easy, and that this is some serious business, what we're in the business of. There's a lot that happens, as you all know, behind the scenes, but we really are the motor for the boat, so we need to be in top shape. And I love it. I love what I'm doing. I never thought I'd see myself here, but that's what I do love it.
I never thought I would say that either.
No.
Because there's days when you're thinking, did I feel that? But it is definitely a honing of the gifts of the Spirit, and you can feel God at work so many different areas and see it happening. And I think that's what makes it something that's enjoyable.
Yeah, and he always seems to give you one of those days where you write on a piece of paper, I quit, you date it. I know my assistant principal has like at least three of those in a file in her desk right now that say, I quit. But he follows those days up always with a day of sunshine, a day of just amazing things happening, people just recognizing the good that's happening around them. And that makes it okay to have those days where it's not so good. And Bessie's sitting here going, I never want your job. I never want your job.
No. I admire all of you. I really do. So with everything that all your journeys that led you to where you are now, what are some of the joys that you celebrate right now? What are some of the things that make you say, and I know you started with that, Stacy, but I know for Susie, one of the things that I am always daily impressed with is she leads, whether it's snowing, blowing, or hot as whatever outside, the children before they enter the school are on the blacktop saying a prayer as the second bell rings. Mm-hmm. So that's a real joy for me as an observer of you. But Cynthia, we'll start with you. What are some of the joys of being the principal of West Catholic
High School? There's so many. I mean, it's just I do. I absolutely love the job. They're all in individual kids, though, so that's the hard thing. I don't want to take 3 hours explaining every time I see a kid, you know, but really that's it. It's the individual growth you see in the kids. I remember one kid, now it's been a couple of years, came back, didn't go, went K-8 Catholic, ninth grade of public school, came back in the early beginning of the 10th grade year, and I asked him, why do you want to come to West Catholic? And he looked at me and he said, I'm a Catholic kid. What the heck am I doing in a public school?
I love that.
Because I will tell you, I see this boy, this young man now, and he is always with the priest during our mass as the altar server. And I see how the faith in that young man has grown tremendously. And I really understand what he was saying, that he needed to be in that Catholic school for that Catholic environment, for the Mass, for the prayer. That was very important to him. I see it in kids that come back and complain about our mean English teachers, that they're too hard. They ruin them for college life because they can't peer at it, because they are too picky and nobody wants to be at their table. You know, I see it when I see kids coming back after they've graduated from college, and I hear all the wonderful things they're doing and a lot of them going into service. One of the kids, in fact, just this weekend, my daughter was telling me about a young man who graduated from West, I want to say 3 years ago. He's at Grand Valley. But he just got back from a mission trip in Nicaragua. Whenever you hear these stories and you see what these kids are doing with your lives, and I have hundreds of them because, you know, hundreds of kids, you know, have graduated since I've been principal. And even just day to day, I mean, that's where your joy comes in, when you see the product.
Thank you. How about you, Greg?
I mean, I'll echo a lot of Cynthia's comments. You know, I remember once having a very strange moment when I was a classroom teacher back in Massachusetts, teaching a class to seniors, and one of the girls in the class said this legitimately, very distraught. You know, was not looking forward to going to college in the next year, and her quote was, "What am I supposed to do, Mr. Bruno? My dad's a lawyer. My mom's a doctor. What do I have left to accomplish?" And so I often think of that in context of what I now see. The best part of the job, the joy that I get are the kids. Mm-hmm. But I'll go back to what I went to earlier. I don't think the kids that we have in a Catholic school ever face that dilemma, because they know, and we can talk to them about the fact that God has given them unique talents and has called them to serve others. And so for that young lady, I remember talking about it with a really good friend of mine, Catholic educated, his wife went to BC, he went to Duquesne, you know, and he said, "Well, I hope you told her about the Peace Corps. I hope he told her about, you know, this." And I said, "Oh, those would have all been really good." I was just dumbfounded at the time. But I think that's the big piece. You know, the fact that our kids are servant leaders. Our kids, you know, you get to watch them grow through a variety of years, develop into these great human beings because of the Christ-centered education. And, you know, in terms of other unique joys, Susie, I know you know them pretty well because Sally teaches in your building. You know, I love the fact that, and I totally stole this from Pete. When the kids, Pete Fochman, a middle school religion and math teacher at St. John Vianney, when the kids aren't, or to re-cue the kids, you know, I'm used to the lower elementary, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 time to listen, you know, and you clap. He does "God is great," and then they all yell back all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I've stolen that from him, and it's great. Just, you know, that's a unique joy that if I'm working with the seventh graders like I was Friday at the end of the day and I wanted to refocus their attention, "God is great," and then boom, they all yell out in unison all the time. You know, that's a unique joy. I do lunch and recess duty. Walking up the other day, it was just this beautiful sunny day, and I said, "Praise God," and 5, 6 kids right beside me yelled "Alleluia." You know, it was so nice that the weather was beautiful. And those are the unique joys. The kids. It comes down to the kids, you know.
I walked into a classroom the other day. I'm on lots of allergy medicine these days. So you walk around in a fog, you know, you're not always sure what you're doing. And I'd walked into the classroom and meant to put up my hands to silently do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and instead made the sign of the cross, dead silence.
Yeah.
It was so awesome. Dead silence. All I had to do was make the sign of the cross.
Yeah. Well, I do have to say, I don't know how some of the other schools, if you can't pray in school, gets the kids to be quiet.
Same thing.
We have an assembly and the kids are all talking and making noise, and all you have to do is start the sign of the cross, you've got complete silence.
Yes. Isn't it awesome?
Yeah, we do Immaculate Heart of Mary, and then the students echo back, "Pray for us."
Yeah.
And that usually gets them, and they're attentive then and listening. But it goes back to the students, you know, seeing them in the mornings, they're happy to see you. They come running up and they give you this great big hug. I had a little one yell out, "Free Hug Friday."
That's awesome.
And so then next thing I know, I'm having hugs all the way through. But they, I love seeing the progress of our new students. They come in and they're often behind what their grade level companions are. But by the end of the year, they've grown leaps and bounds. We had one young lady come from an area public school. Her father brought her in, and he was very angry and upset because she was in seventh grade. She was having a boyfriend and she was doing some social things that were way beyond her years. And he said she needs to be in a Catholic school. So the first probably 2 or 3 weeks, we'd check in with her and how are things going? Everything's fine. Probably by the third or fourth week, she was in the office sobbing. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what happened? And I sit her down and I'm, you know, tell me what's wrong. And she said, nothing's wrong. That's the problem. I said, what do you mean that's the problem? She said, this place is unreal. Everyone here is so nice to me. She said, it's like a fantasy. And she was finally letting her guard down and realizing that she could relax, that she was safe, and that she could be a child. She didn't have to be a grown-up young woman already. I have had another, the experience of first communion with the second graders, seeing their faces in the anticipation of receiving Christ for the first time, that just the joy is overwhelming. And you've built up this whole year, and it's just phenomenal that we get to be a part of this and see how this has come to fruition in everything that we've taught for them. You know, having the students come back. All four of my children went to West Catholic, and I can attest to them coming back and telling me, Mom, I can tell who those kids are that didn't go to Catholic school because their essays, oh my gosh. And they're like, I do not want to look at their papers to help them with that. And my kids have gone on those service trips to India, and I have one that's out in Minnesota all summer doing youth works and Christian camps and things out there. And the things that he's told me that he's working on with these kids and all pointing back to their Christian faith and helping them to grow in that. It's so heartwarming to see that it does take root and it does stick with them for their life decisions. And that's what brings joy when they come back, you know, from high school, they graduated from your school, they come back as a visit as high schoolers, or when they've graduated from college, or when they're adults and have their own children and they're enrolling them in your school again, saying, I went here, I want my child to go here, I know what they're going to get here, and this is what I want for them. That's what tells me that, okay, we're doing God's work, and he's perpetuating this then.
Absolutely. There's nothing like walking into that building in the morning, is there? The smell of a school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're the first one there. You're unlocking the doors. It's dark. It's like this big cavern. And you think, oh, my goodness, the awesome responsibility I have on my shoulders. And then all of a sudden the kids come in, and it's like it's a game. It's a party. It's fun. The kids are what make the building and what make our jobs so enjoyable.
And they're happy to be there.
They're
happy.
They're
running from their cars into the building. I got to get to my class.
Dad and I were talking about that this morning. His own father was a middle school teacher for over 30 years, and we were talking about the fact that I'm out on the ramp in the morning. I greet the kids as they come in, and he was just talking about, you must love how happy the kids are every day. I said, that's one of my favorite things about being here is the joy on the kids' faces. I mean, it's great. They're just like Stacy said, they're excited to be there. They're looking forward to being there. It just makes it even more amazing.
And all the tears on the last day of school, all the kids crying and sobbing, and just and the parents, you know, we just become so close over the course of a year to our children and our families that it's such a blessing. Not that that doesn't happen in a public school, because I believe it does.
Mm-hmm.
But we've drawn God into the conversation as well, which really goes right to the heart. We're love pushers is what we are.
and I think what you're saying right there, Susie, that's the difference maker. We say all the time at St. Thomas that we can go toe-to-toe academically or technology-wise, but the fact that we're drawing in not only the students but the families and we're building the community based on faith, that's you can't walk away from that and not be sad, or not be sad that the end of summer's here now, or Christmas vacation or whatever, because you love being a part of it all the time. And it goes back to what you and I were talking about earlier, that they don't know that they're missing something until they're involved in it, and then they see.
I had a parent say to me one time that who came to us from a public school, that she felt that her other school was wonderful academically, and she really was torn as to whether to take her child out. But now, she said, the experiences that we have in your Catholic school at St. Thomas, is that there are transformational moments. It's not just the great accomplishments that the kids have or the wonderful projects or the presentations, but the transformational moments that happen in a Catholic school, because you've hit them where it really counts, in the heart. You've gone to their faith lives and you've drawn in those families and created experiences that are based on something so deep as your Catholic faith, that those aren't moments that you can have in a public school.
I would agree. So with just a few moments left, and we've covered almost everything on our questions except for what do you think would be something you would tell parents about coming to a Catholic school that is that kind of pivotal point? What's the deal breaker for families when you meet them, when you show them your school, when you tour? I'm sure, Cynthia, you take them around West Catholic, and you give them a tour of the school. And the students, of course, are the selling point, as we've said. But what is for you something that a catchphrase that you use with them to say this is the place you really want to be? What would that be?
Well, I think it's just that we are able to educate the whole person. We're not just academics, we're not just athletics. The most important part is the faith, and that is such an integral and the most important part of your student's development. And that is something that we offer that can't be offered in other places.
And that's a very different thing at the high school level than we're talking about at the grade school level. Because at the high school level, they're going through very different things developmentally. They've been there, done that. They feel like, oh, I've had 8 years of Catholic school. For you guys to keep it fresh and alive and dynamic for them is a totally different challenge.
Well, and it's not only that. The high school years are difficult. I mean, any mother can tell you it doesn't go smoothly all the time. I wish it did. Didn't for me. It didn't for anyone I know of. And it's such an important part. And that faith formation, or just the example that are led by your staff, the ability to go to a peer minister, ability to go to the campus minister, the ability to see that the way of the church is the way of happiness in so many of those issues that they're going to confront. It's a scary place to be a teen in the world today. And I think of all times, I think the time right now is our students are most in need of that direction when they're going through such a landmine. You know, the culture, there's so many landmines out there for these kids, and they don't see clearly. They're kind of in a fog until they get into their 20s. And if you're not leading them through that fog, it's pretty scary.
Do you have a lot of parent involvement at the high school level, parents who are wanting to be in the buildings like we do at the elementary level?
It's a different kind of involvement, but yes, we do. There's a lot of different functions. Obviously, our athletics needs a lot of volunteers. Parents come and go. We have a parents club. We now have a growing faith boosters club where parents come to help with faith formation with their students. Of course, we have the Adoration Chapel where we've for 20 years had, we have constant adoration while students are in the building. We have parents, grandparents, and community members that are praying for them while they're in school. So we get a pretty active group of people in and out of the building, parents especially, but also, you know, between the teachers, the staff, myself, very open. There's very open communication lines, too, where, you know, we're hearing from parents a lot. But it's a different kind. They're not room mothers. They're not, you know, that kind of thing. It's a little bit different. But, yeah, they're very active.
Thank you. And Greg, what about you with families?
You know, I'd echo some of the things I had said earlier. You know, I do use that line, we offer the best of what was with the best of what is. And then a lot of times, depending on how well it's going, I'll tell them, you know, a personal story myself. So I tell them, I said, look, quite frankly, whether or not I became principal, my children were always going here. And, you know, and I'll tell them, and the reason why, Perla Scott used to be a preschool teacher there and was also for a while the director of our preschool. And I tell the story, and I know it came in part from her interactions with my son. We were in the drive-through line of a Taco Bell, and an ambulance went screaming by. And I would, you know, anytime an ambulance goes by, I make the sign of the cross, I pray in silent. And my son, you know, he could kind of see me in the rear view. He says, Dad, that's an ambulance. We should pray. And we said the Hail Mary together. I'd love to say that came because I was a good steward of this child God has blessed me with. But in actuality, it's that partnership. And that's what that the school, that's the partnership that the school offers. You know, we will be your partner in all aspects of your child's education.
Right. I agree. And then, Stacy, why don't you wrap us up?
I just know that, you know, we try to raise Christ-centered children in partnership with the parents. And I know the biggest attribute is when my kids have come home, graduated from college, and say, when I have my children, I'm putting them in a Catholic school. They've worked with students who've come from all different places, and they feel themselves, this is where I want my children to go.
Well, we really thank the three of you for coming out of your schools today to come talk with us about Catholic education and being unapologetically Catholic. We thank everybody for joining us on our show today, and we hope you have a wonderful and blessed day.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Unapologetically Catholic on Holy Family Radio. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please email us at unapologeticallycatholic@holyfamilyradio.net. If you would like to listen to this program again or share this program with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week. May God bless your day.